This is Leslie Bensacca. I'm back on Open Channel with Tom Hiscox. Our guest questioner this evening with us is Willie Huff, the only candidate for ASI president, and Ted Sanchez and Nick Forestier, both candidates for ASI vice president. We have our first caller, and I think we'll tune into them now. Good evening. You're on Open Channel. Do you have a question or a comment?
I'd like to address anyone who'd like to answer this, and I would like to ask what the vice president or Willie Huff see as a reaction of Proposition 9 passing and what the effects could possibly be.
Willie, you want to start with that?
Okay, sure. The effects of Proposition 9 are really not known at the time, and I'm not being vague or ambiguous. It's just simply the fact that because of the time that it will be passed, if it does pass, the legislature will not have very much time to react to it. However, at this campus, one of the reasons that I felt that I was qualified for this position is because of my experience with working with the administration. I have contacts there, and we're going to need someone next year who has a familiarity with what is going on, and more than that, who has contacts with those people who are going to make decisions affecting the quality of our education. And in that degree, I think that I will be able to deal with any cuts that we might have.
Okay, I'd like to address the vice presidents also in that the chancellor has announced that there could possibly be a 20 to 30% cut, and I'd like to see how they would react to those cuts.
Nick, you want to start this time?
Well, again, as far as the 20 to 30% cuts, you really can't, at least President Baker says he's going to make these cuts, but in what areas, really don't know. But, of course, you could look at what's happening right now. There's talk about merging the social science, the school or the division of social science with communicative arts and humanities. There's talk about moving or merging the child development with home economics. Those are definitely steps that will probably be taken if Prop 9 passes. But overall, you're going to have As far as what's going to be eliminated from the system is probably the teaching positions. You could really draw the analogy of what's going to happen with Prop 9 with what happened with Prop 13, where we lost a number of faculty positions. And not only that, we also have at this school a lot of architecture, which takes a lot of input or a lot of money as far as for their labs and equipment. You have engineering, which takes a lot of money for their equipment. And obviously those things are going to be in danger due to Prop 9 passing.
Ted?
Well, as Willie said, we don't really know what Prop 9 is going to, where the cuts are going to be made. And as Nick was saying about merging, you know, like with child development with home ec and also social science and political science, we really don't know right now where the cuts are going to be made. But I guess the administration is going to, you know, work it out as best they can, along with, you know, student input in there.
None of you have mentioned that dirty word, tuition. Do any of you think that tuition may come to Cal Poly?
Definitely. I would think that tuition would be implemented on this campus and then the other CSECU campuses. Excuse me. We're talking about $1,000 tuition. On UC campuses, we're talking about $1,500. It's important to note, as Nick was mentioning, the high-cost programs are going to be the ones that are going to be having the most damage to them, high cost being our architecture, agriculture, and engineering. And in that vein, tuition definitely will be implemented.
Minors were recently approved on campus. Does this fairly well end them for at least now, would you say? Nick?
I'd say there's probably a good possibility because basically what the minors program is doing is going to switch around a lot of funding between departments. And basically when you look at the minors program overall, you're looking at the redistribution of funding based on the students involved in the different schools and that offer the minor classes. And I think it's very much in danger, mainly because everybody's going to go back to what are the major, because those are the first priority, and minors are a addition to that.
Does that answer our caller's question?
But I have another one.
Okay.
Would like
go ahead.
Okay. I have an acquaintance who is an ASI official, and he has university secretaries do his homework. And I would like to know the attitude of future hopeful vice president or Willie Huff's attitude on this behavior.
Can you be a little more specific on has them do?
Have them type up reports for their classes.
Ted?
Okay, I guess being secretary of Senate, it's more of an honor. I would like to open it up to anyone interested in being secretary for Senate next year, and maybe having them that are interested in being secretary of Senate come forth to Senate, and we would interview them and select a secretary for, to be the secretary for Senate next year.
No, I'm not talking about that. I'm speaking of an acquaintance of mine has a university secretary do his homework for him, type his homework for him, and I want to see what the attitude is of, I understand that he responded, well, everyone has somebody do their homework.
Okay, my understanding to the situation is that this individual hired a secretary to type up a paper.
No, didn't hire.
Didn't hire.
Had them do that.
Okay, has the secretary type papers, a secretary paid by, I would assume, the university or foundation?
Correct.
To type the papers, and what the caller wants is your opinions on that. Is that a justifiable action?
Correct.
Well, Tom, let me answer that. I do feel that, judging from the amount of work that sometimes flows into the ASI secretary position, I have had on occasion to ask her to type up things at the going rate.
Your and, homework.
Yeah, my homework.
During university hours?
During, no, not during university hours.
During her time?
During her time, usually sometimes at lunch.
Now, she's getting paid or not as a university employee?
When, yes, she is getting paid, okay, but if she's on her lunch break, then we're talking about a whole different thing.
Okay, she's not getting paid,
but I know what,
university hours.
I know what you're trying to say. My attitude on this is that I don't think it's really acceptable if we are getting university money time and if she's getting paid also. I know what you're saying, and to that degree, I'm not in favor of that.
Does that answer our caller's question?
Thanks.
Thank you. We have another caller, and I think we'll go directly to them. Good evening. You're on Open Channel. Do you have a question or a comment?
Yes, I do. I'd like to ask three candidates what their views are concerning the use of the IRA, the instructionally related activity fee, which is $10 for every student, and what they consider an appropriate use for that. Currently, a large part of that fund goes to intercollegiate sports. And if Proposition 9 does pass, would they like to see the IRA fees continue to go towards sport, or what uses do they see for that money?
Nick, maybe it'd be appropriate to start with you on that one, since you are finance chair at the current time.
And also a voting member of the IRA board, I guess I could give you some kind of input on what we're thinking about. Overall, our first priority is more or less to those groups that do not produce income. So when you're talking about the IRA groups that do not produce income, you're talking about things like forensics, the ag judging teams, and so on. And just on a financial base, I think we owe our first priority to them. When you're talking about athletics, overall, they do produce income, and they need a little bit more to help them break even. However, when we start looking about as far as the lack of funds, I think we have to keep in mind that these sports do produce income that could be accounted for or that can be projected, where the other ones do not. And when you're looking as far as eliminating funds or cutting back on programs, that, you know, you'd have to take that into consideration. So basically, the priority that I see is to those programs that are, you know, basically worth their merit, they're worthwhile, they're doing a lot of things for the university, and also the fact of whether or not they bring in any income is also a major factor.
But, excuse me, as I understand it, the sports programs take the majority of the proportion of the IRA budget, and forensic and debate and the other essentially instructional programs have a very small percentage, and the sports receives the vast bulk. And do you consider that a proper use of an instructionally related fee, a fee which is supposed to go to purposes which are used for instruction?
Well, you have to look at as far as just what the athletic is. When you're talking about 11 men's sports and 8 women's sports, you're talking about a lot of activities that are instructionally related. You're talking about participation on the different teams that do have a lot of expenses, mainly that of travel. And as far as you're talking about bulk, that's why the bulk is there. But again, like I said, my philosophy as far as just what areas, as far as instructionally related, are my first priority would be given to those as far as the, you know, the more diverse groups overall that are not athletics.
Well, I can see, understand that the expenses are greater, but is athletics, is football, baseball, basketball, track, swimming, et cetera, are those an instructionally related activity? If we have to make a decision, if Proposition 9 passes, should we spend that money there? or should we put it into something like ACPR or Mustang Daily or the Union or someplace where students will get more benefit out of it?
Ted, would you like to respond to that section?
Sure, but as Nick was saying, first priority will go to, you know, organizations that do not bring in an income, and the money would be allocated also to these sports with the IRA board. They would know where to put this money, you know, as best they can.
Willie?
Yeah, I was going to have some, I have some really definite feelings about that. I think Cal Poly is a really diverse campus, and we must realize that there are a varied interest here on this campus. To that degree, I sometimes feel that there's an overemphasis on the quote-unquote traditional sports. I think they're great, and they bring in revenue, and they build student pride, but just as I was telling the rodeo team when I spoke to them, it's important to realize that we have a lot of other great programs, even including debate and those type of activities in KCPR, that we need to promote more. And so to answer your question directly, when it comes down to it, I think we can afford to cut back in some of those areas and start funding some of those non-traditional sports a little bit more, and I'm definitely in favor of that.
Thank you for that direct answer. Could I ask one more question concerning the IRA money?
Sure.
Thank you. It's my understanding that the editors of the Mustang Daily have had their salaries or their proposed salaries doubled, and that the staff over there will be getting almost $20,000 next year. Nick, if you're on the IRA board, could you tell me a little bit more about that? I just have heard some rumors and would like to know where that stands right now. Do you know?
Yeah, last week the IRA board, you know, had a budget revision from Mustang Daily, and they did notice that increase. And basically, we had the same questions you did. A number of times we would ask Claude Radcliffe, the general manager for Mustang Daily, just exactly how many people are we paying and just what the increase is. However, within the last 2 weeks, we have not been getting any kind of information as far as explicitly stating just how many people are getting paid and at what price. And right now, we're still waiting for some kind of answer from Mustang Daily.
Mm-hmm. Does that answer our caller's question?
It most certainly does.
Thank you very much for calling. We'd like to remind our listeners that our phone number is 544-4640, and we invite you to call in and ask a question of one of our three officer candidates for ASI elections. Speaking of salaries, I believe ASI officer salaries did come up last week in Senate, and a 9% increase was denied. Nick, what's your answer to that?
Well, what came up in Senate basically were two things. One was a mandated increase that we usually pay for all groups because of the state. We're mandated by the state to keep parity with their programs. And so there was a $424 increase overall to student officers. However, an additional $425 failed the student senate as far as increasing increasing the stipends for the officers.
Ted, you're a member of the Senate. Do you have anything else to add to that?
Yes, I voted no. I don't think ASI officers should be given a 9% increase in raise. Everybody's talking about Proposition 9 and cuts should be made. I don't see how these ASI officers could get a 9% increase in their salaries when we're going to be making cuts, and we don't know how Proposition 9 is going to affect Cal Poly.
How about you, Willie? What's your feelings on the salaries?
Well, I just would be parroting exactly what Ted said. In a time when we're going to be cutting back, I think it's time to have the leaders show that they're willing to operate on an austere fashion, just like we're going to be expecting anybody else suffering cuts. And to that degree, then I'm definitely not in favor of the increase.
What are the salaries right now for, like, president, Willie? Do you know?
Okay, for a president, it's $170 for 12 months.
Per month, that is.
Per month.
$175 for 12 months.
And for vice president?
It's $160 for 10 months.
That probably worked down to about 30 cents an hour for the hours you guys would have to put in.
Yeah.
Okay, now that we're talking about funding, how about your campaign funding? How are those going, and is the money coming out of your own pockets? Let's see. Let's start with Willie, since he's the one who's had a campaign that's rather irregular. He hasn't had any person to campaign against, yet he's still had to campaign. How are your finances going, and do you need to spend as much as you have for this campaign?
Well, yes, I feel I do, because I think it's a little bit hypocritical of me to say that I'm really willing to get out to students and talk to everybody to find out what's going on, and yet have a rose garden attitude that is to kick back and say, well, I'm already in. That's not what I'm all about. I operate better when I'm out and meeting people, and therefore that means spending the money to get the campaign funds going. Basically, I've got some donations from my church at home, donated quite a bit of money, and a lot of that comes out of my own pocket too. So I think that I'm fairly well funded. We're probably wind up spending about $300 for the campaign.
And is the max $600, I believe?
Yes. Uh-huh.
What about you, Nick?
Well, I'm spending right now about $400 or so. Basically, the cost of printing of the campaign pamphlets and posters are the major expense. And I've saved, you know, from the beginning of last quarter to buy, you know, for going a couple of happy hours and a couple of dates that I could have used sometimes. But I basically gave up on those and tried to save some money.
Ted, how are your finances holding out?
Oh, pretty good. I got together $117 of the donations, and that's all I'm going to be spending on my campaign. I feel that this is probably a drawback why students aren't running for ASI president, vice president, because, you know, you're allowed to spend up to $600. I'm that kind of a student that's just like anybody else, doesn't have the $600 to spend on a campaign, on an election. So I'm only spending this $117. I hope to be elected with this $117, and maybe next year students will know that I used only $117, on which all was donated, and they will go out and run for an ASI position.
This year, the amount was raised from $500 to $600. Did you vote no for that increase?
Yes, I did.
Okay. We have another caller. I'd like to tune in to them. Oops. Wrong button there. Try again. Good evening. You're on Open Channel. Do you have a question or a comment?
Yes, I'd like to ask Ted a question with regard to the use of alcohol on campus. At the beginning of March, there was a resolution passed by the Senate, Resolution 8013, and what it did was it set up guidelines for President Baker for how we would like to see alcohol used on campus. And Ted voted no on this, and I was concerned about why he thought it was, I'm assuming that he was thinking that it was a harm of having beer or wine on campus for organized functions such as banquets and barbecues. I'd like to know his opinion.
Okay, first of all, as a senator, I brought back this proposal to my school council. And in my school council, we debated this issue, and our school council was opposed of this. As in my own opinion, I strongly am against the selling of alcohol on campus. I would like to see maybe the serving of it, like a senior brunch or some, you know, or something like that. But I really don't want to see the selling of it.
I believe guidelines were set up for the use, but I'd like to ask you another question about that. You're from the School of Agriculture, correct?
Yes.
Isn't it true there that the many students in agriculture are funded, their financial aid and scholarships are through companies such as Miller Brewing and Taps? I'm curious as to the position of the Ag Council, if they are, you know, being supported a lot by these beer companies.
I'm not sure about that, but we have a lot of scholarships under our school, yes. One of which is the RASI scholarship, which awards 100 ag students $600 scholarships. But I'm not sure about this. These scholarships that are under, you know, beer or alcohol, you know.
Well, as an attendant of the Poly Royal Rodeo last weekend, I remember seeing a large Miller Brewing sign up there. That's another thing that I don't understand, the sort of a controversy there, voting against the use of alcohol on campus, yet being funded through school based on their support, financial support.
Willie, maybe you could answer that one.
Yeah, I've talked to several members of the rodeo team about that, and it's important to understand that I don't think any member of Ag Council nor any member of the rodeo team that I've talked to are in favor of bringing alcohol into this campus. Now, what needs to be made distinctive in this is that what Miller wants to do is fund the rodeo, and they are giving scholarships, but I don't think this is necessarily condoning alcohol on campus. I think several people condone the drinking of alcohol, and that's not the issue here. We're talking about it here on this campus.
Okay, thank you very England.
Thank you for calling. I'd like to remind our listeners that our phone number is 544-4640, and we invite you to call in and ask a question of one of our three ASI candidates. Tom, do you have a question?
Sure. The ASI elections are coming up on May 7th and 8th, and so far various members of the ASI now have granted endorsements to various candidates. Now, I know that there aren't any official running mates. I was wondering, Willie, have you cast your endorsement to either of these two gentlemen sitting in front of me?
No, I really haven't, because I think it would be starting from a uphill battle if I were to come out and set up some type of antagonistic feelings. It's important next year that we have a unified ASI, and that means that I have to be willing to work with whoever gets elected. And to that degree, I have not come out specifically for anybody.
Are you insinuating that maybe this year's ASI is not unified?
Yes.
In what ways? Can you be a little more specific?
Well, sure. I think during my letter of resignation, I sort of indicated the fact that the antagonisms between what I will use the jargon of government, the executive and legislative branch, the Student Senate and Rose's cabinet, really created a lot of friction. And it also meant that we weren't able to get a lot of things done until some of these personal feelings were allayed and gotten out of the way.
Ted, you were a member of that legislative branch. What do you feel about that?
I feel the same way Willie does. I guess there was a lack of leadership in Rose's part. Like I was saying, a lot of students on campus don't even know who their ASI president is or what, you know, she's been doing. Rose should have let these students know what she was doing with some sort of way, like maybe a letter to in the Mustang Daily or something.
Nick, you also worked with Rose and the whole ASI. What do you think?
Well, it's true. Basically, the vice president and president have to complement each other if they plan to work as a unifying body as far as dealing with issues before the administration and being the voice of all the clubs and different organizations on campus. This year, it was really unfortunate that we had almost a scandal at the beginning of the year with the different appointments made by Rose Kranz, and that definitely created a somewhat of a hard-working relationship from there on. It's been kind of coming back ever since, but I think the effectiveness of both the president and vice president were very much impaired by that, and it's very important to start off with a very good working relationship.
Okay, we have another caller. I'd like to see what they have to ask. Good evening. You're on Open Channel. Do you have a question or a comment?
Yes, I'd like to ask Willie a question, please.
Sure.
Willie, how did you feel about the protest that people put on in the UU the other day? And do you feel that minorities are discriminated against at Cal Poly?
Okay, I was in favor of the protest simply because it represents a section, at least a small section of the student body that is doing something that is not apathetic. Something hit them to the degree that they felt that something had to be done. As far as minority representation on campus and the discrimination issue, I feel that, sure, there may be some, I would call clandestine or maybe covert discrimination. I am not necessarily feel comfortable speaking for the entire black community of the campus. I would be only speaking as myself. And to that degree, I have not incurred any racial discrimination and would not really come out in favor of saying that there were definitely some overt discrimination. However, my vicarious experience, that is talking to other minority students on this campus, I have found that there tends to be some, and they have experienced it and have expressed their concerns to me about it.
Ted, Nick, how do you feel? Do you think there is an unspoken prejudice or bias on this campus? Ted, start with you.
Not that I know of. Right now, we're under the quota for minority students on campus. I'm presently serving in a committee that was formed by President Baker, which is the Equal Opportunity Advisory Committee, and we're trying to get more minority teachers on campus as well as minority students.
Nick?
Well, I think the major problem is just an unawareness that has been incurred. The real unfortunate thing is that even last year, we had what was called an ethnic program board, which was the voice of the different cultural groups to the ASI. And last year, when that fell apart, this communication link obviously went with it. And because of that, we have the kind of lack of cultural programming that we should have this year. And hopefully the steps that we've taken this year as far as the Cultural Advisory Council and additional funding for those groups will help present more of a impact in the cultural programming.
Okay, Nick, you mentioned that board fell apart. How did it fall apart, and why was it not reinstated?
The history of it, I really don't know. I know that it fell apart. Basically, it was a matter of how from what I've been told, of how the funds were handled. Usually what happened is that one of the groups who had functions at the end of the year end up getting no funds left because they were being used during the year. And as a result, there was a lot of friction. And because of that, most of the groups went their own way and tried to do the program they thought they could do with the money they could have.
Willie, do you have any further input on that?
Yeah, basically the way that the funds were allocated, as Nick mentioned, created sort of antagonistic feelings insofar as groups wound up fighting for funds instead of getting together and providing a unified cultural programming on the campus. And this year, I think the Finance Committee has taken adequate steps to allay that.
Does this answer our caller's question?
Yes, thank you.
Thank you for calling.
Uh-huh.
We're with Willie Huff, the only candidate for ASI president, and Ted Sanchez and Nick Forestier, both candidates for ASI vice president. I'd like to remind our listeners that our phone number is 544-4640, and we'll be taking more phone calls right after this.
Hold on to your hats, ladies and gentlemen. It's time for the third annual Athletic Dorm Talent Entertainment Show. Here's your chance to see the athletes show off their talent and hear some excellent music at the same time. For more information, call Dwight Allen Crump at 544-9804. Join us Saturday, May 10th at 7:30 in the Crandall Gym for the show of the season, the third annual Athletic Dorm Talent Entertainment Show.
If your nonprofit organization is having an event or activity coming up, but you're having a hard time getting your message to the public, KCPR may be the answer you've been looking for. Drop by the KCPR studio located in the Graphic Arts Building anytime between 8 and 5, Monday through Friday, and fill out an announcement form, and we'll be glad to try to get it on the air for you, provided you try to give us 2 weeks' notice, and please, no raffles or lotteries allowed. So don't delay. We're here to serve you, the public. That's KCPR, your radio station.
We're back with Willie Huff, the only candidate for ASI president, and Ted Sanchez and Nick Forestier, both candidates for ASI vice president. I'm Leslie Bensacca, your moderator for this evening's Open Channel, and with me is Tom Hiscox, the news director of KCPR. Tom, do you have a question?
Yes. So far this evening, I've seen no disagreement at all between Ted and Nick on any issue. You're candidates for the same office. There should be some or difference of opinion, or do you both just have different opinions as far as leadership style? Start with you, Nick.
Well, it's as far as a lot of the issues, I think it seems like Ted and I have a similar philosophy. I still, as far as my experience goes, I think I had a lot of experience within the ASI with the last 2 years, and I think I have a lot of and made a lot of contacts with the administration, can work overall better with the administration. And, that's basically the reason why I'm running, because I think I could do a good job. The issues, the way of handling them might be a different matter altogether. We might agree on some of the issues, but the way to handle them might be an issue of concern.
Nick, some people have voiced the opinion that perhaps you're too financially minded, that all your experience has been with financial matters. Can you respond to that?
Well, I think that might be a little, like I said, unjust. I've spent 2 years in the Finance Committee in the IRA, but I've also been a member of the Academic Council, which deals very much with academic issues. As far as last year, we had the policy of credit, no credit that came up. We were talking about the parking problems. We were talking about the foundation food services problems, as well as the bookstore problems. So I had a lot of experience as well as a wide base. Financially, though, you have to remember that the major function of the Student Senate is the ASI budget, and that's basically what its what its major function is. And I think my experience in that manner will come in handy. But overall, I don't think I've been dug myself deep in the financial worries of the ASI, and I have quite an awareness of other problems as well.
Ted, would you like to respond?
Yes, I believe that the major function of ASI is a service to the students, and this is what I want to work with next year. And instead of being more of a student government, I want to uphold that ASI is a service to the students, and students should know where their $20 of fees that they pay each quarter goes, and who their ASI president is, and who their vice president is, and who their senators are.
We have another caller. I'd like to tune in to them. Good evening. You're on Open Channel. Do you have a comment or a question?
Yes. I'd like to ask Ted and Nick specifically if they would comment on the revenue sharing plan that will be coming up in this election. Specifically, I'd like to know that since there was a 10% cutback in the general budget, if these various groups have had to tighten up, if the purpose was, in fact, to allow for this revenue sharing that was going to happen. And if that's the case, when this was allowed, is this going to make it so that the tightening wasn't effective? Are we going to put these funds back into places where they weren't needed in the first place?
Ted, Nick, before you respond to that, maybe we should have Willie explain exactly what revenue sharing is. It's a new issue this year on the ballot, I believe.
Right. This year, when you go to the polls, you will have a chance to direct $1 of your ASI student fees to any coded or bylawed group. And the reason that we're implementing this program is, I think, overall, is to help to get the student vote out. Maybe you'll have an interest in finding out where you could direct one of your dollars would go to the groups. But also, it would be a good budgetary guide for next year's Student Senate and the Finance Committee, because we can look at where money was sent to and possibly get an indication of where students' interests lie as far as their opinions on budgeting groups.
Nick, I believe our caller was interested in both your and Ted's opinion on it. Shall we start with you?
Yeah, overall, the 10% that you were talking about, the 10% cut, was in no way a plan in order to get the $4,500 for the general revenue sharing idea. Basically, if you look at it, the $4,500 is going right back into programming, since it's going to those groups who all do programming, as far as the clubs, the different coded groups now, like the rugby team and the Rose Float, and other student organizations as well. So actually, what you're talking about is the same amount of money that is being dispersed to all the groups. But what you're getting away from is just the mandate that the Student Senate and the Finance Committee find. You're getting away from the assumption that the Finance Committee has to make every time it listens to a group. What you're really getting is how the students feel about the different clubs and different organizations, how much they put a value on them. And you could find that out with the number of people who designate where $1 of their activity fee money will go. And that was one of the primary concerns of the general revenue sharing idea.
Ted?
Both Willie and Nick have said it all. $1 of your ASI fees is going to go to a club or organization of your choice. And this includes, fraternities and clubs. It's to help increase a voter turnout.
Does that answer our caller's question?
Well, I was curious about that last comment, about if, in fact, the revenue sharing was just to increase the voter turnout. I was hoping that this would be some way of showing some type of input by the voter. I'm curious as to which one is the exact one, or if they're both equal, I don't know.
I'm not really clear on the question. Which was the motive to implement the general revenue sharing program?
Yes, that's what I'd like to know.
I think that it came about, and I think Nick can really address this better, after looking at what Chico State did and how it increased their voter turnout, we felt that it would be a good incentive to increase ours also, while at the same time providing the ASI officers with input as far as where money should go to. And by having voters vote dollars to specific groups, we get an indication of that.
Does that make it more clear?
Yes, it does.
Thank you very much.
Is there one question that I might ask?
Sure.
Okay, also, I'd like to ask how each of the candidates, I know some of the views, but how each of the candidates feel about program board, and whether in fact it's a service organization or whether it's an organization that should be a fund-making organization for ASI.
Nick, do you want to start that one?
Well, it's obviously started off as a service organization, and it's trying to be, it should be maintained to that as close as possible. It's supposed to be providing a diverse amount of programming to all students at the lowest cost possible, and that's basically the function of it, and that's a very valid function, and one that I uphold.
Ted, Willie, do either of you want to respond to it?
Yeah, sure. I feel that the programming board is a essential part of the ASI, and unfortunately, it has sort of been left out in the university governance process. I think overall, I really feel confident about saying that the members who belong to the committees of the program board are a good resource to tap, because they seem to at least know generally what students want, something that the ASI, I think, has fallen behind in. Next year, if I am elected, I plan to include the chairman of the program board on my executive cabinet, and that way to get more input as far as what the program board is doing.
Ted, do you have anything further to add to that?
Well, Willie said it all, I guess, again. They basically know what students want, and that's really important.
We thank our caller for calling in, and I think we're going to take another phone call now.
Thank you very much.
Mm-hmm. Hello, you're on Open Channel. Do you have a comment or a question?
Yes, I'd like to ask Dick and Willie their views on athletics, you know, in particular the minor sports that face being cut next year, and their stand on priority registration.
Okay, Ted?
Okay, I feel that minor sports should be funded. Also about priority registration on your ballot, the student is going to be able to voice his opinion. He's going to say, could vote yes, priority registration should, you know, be maintained, or no, I don't think priority registration should be kept. And if so, the way it's going to be is we're going to have disabled students go first, which there are 15, and then we're going to have seniors and grad students next, and then we're going to have first-time students, and we're going to end up with continuing and former students on the basis of units completed.
Yes, and how do you stand on that?
Priority registration?
Yes.
I feel that right now I'm a senator, and there are 16 senators that are seniors, and next year, you know, I'll be a senior, and so I don't think there really is a necessity.
Well, for you or for, you know, there's athletes, the band, are you for priority registration or against it?
I'm not for it. I'm against,
against it.
Yes.
Nick?
Yeah, basically I'm against priority registration too, but maybe for a little different reasons. And that is, first of all, perhaps, is that no one really knows where to draw the line as far as giving priority registration. The original intent of it was to help those students who are providing a service to all students a chance to organize their schedule as to further these as much as possible, so they could kind of eliminate the time commitments. However, the major problem again is that no one could decide of who should get it and who shouldn't, and as a result, you had, you know, about 2 or 3 years ago 3,000 students getting it, and even with the bill now, you're having about 3.3%. But overall, I think it's a program that is costing the ASI a lot of credibility, and that perhaps we don't need priority registration. It's going to create that friction between the representatives and the students.
Does that answer our caller's question?
Well, hello?
Yes?
Yeah,
Nick, I was wondering how you think that, like, say, 60 football players are all going to be able to schedule their time on the exact same way.
Are you a member of the football team or some athletic team?
I'm an athletic squad, tennis team in particular.
Okay. Nick?
Well, again, it goes, you know, the 60 football members, you have 120 concert committee members, you have just a heck of a lot of people who feel the same way. And, you know, you're either faced with granting all, well, you know, them prior registration and get back up where you have a third of the school registering before everybody else, which is one of the problems that we were trying, the Student Senate tried to eliminate last year with the Bill 7901. And overall, you know, it's just, like I said, it's just too much of a liability right now to do that. And I think it is going to hurt some people who do use it wisely. But overall, it's a demise that has occurred and that the voters will have a chance to voice their opinions on it in May.
Ted, do you have further comments on it?
Yes. We decreased, like Nick said, from 3,000 to 300 students because of new procedure registration. We have car registration. Some departments were able to add more courses and more labs because of car registration.
I'd like to thank our caller for calling in. I'd like to remind our listeners that our phone number is 544-4640. We have about another 6 minutes before we go on, and I'd like to tune in to yet another caller. Good evening. You're on Open Channel. Do you have a comment or a question?
Yes, I do. This is a two-part question. The first part to Willie. That if you thought that there was such of a lack of leadership this year on part of the grant administration, why did you quit? And second part is to everyone there, is that there seemed to be a general feeling earlier that Rosecrans, you know, as the president, was the main problem with the ASI this year. Do you feel that way, or do you feel that there were other groups or other people, or there was an equal problem, and who they were, if you feel there was a problem?
Okay, and answering your first question, the lack of leadership that you referred to, I never said that. I said that there's a lack of unity in the ASI. I think one of the other candidates may have said the lack of leadership. The reason I quit was for that very same reason, because of the lack of unity. But more specifically, though, I think there was just a friction created from past hostilities of the previous year's election. Those two reasons, I think, are the major reasons, aside from my educational reasons, which is the reason as why I resign.
Nick, Ted, do you have anything further to add to that?
No, I think Willie pretty much covered it. You know, it's not as much, you know, it's not in a direct attack upon Rosie at all. It's just that when the friction was there, it was unfortunate that it happened. And perhaps when we, as far as getting back to working relationship, I think is what this person is talking about, that perhaps we need to make to ensure that in order to be effective. And I think those are the comments that, the intent of the comments that we had earlier.
Ted? I'd like to thank our caller for calling in. We have yet another caller. Good evening. You're on Open Channel. Do you have a question or a comment?
Yeah, personally, I just want to make a brief comment and then say that I believe that there's much more to ASI than finances. And I just wanted to ask, isn't it true that revenue sharing will actually hurt ASI programs?
Nick, would you like to start by answering that?
Well, again, John, I think the answer to your question is that it is not going to hurt at all. A lot of times, you know, what you're basically doing is giving the program's funding right back, but in a different way, in a way that the students like to see where the funds should go, not by the Finance Committee or the Student Senate. And I think that's what general revenue sharing was all about. And overall, it's not going to hurt the overall programs because they'll receive just an equal opportunity as all the other groups. And basically, you're having the students decide it instead of the Student Senate or the Finance Committee.
Willie?
Yeah, I just extend exactly on what Nick is saying. I doubt that it's going to hurt the programs, but more importantly, the Student Senate has failed to take positive action to be more representative to students, and at least by this means of general revenue sharing, that this is an overt attempt to get out to students, and maybe next year the Student Senate will be more responsive and we won't have to take this sort of direct action.
I'd like to thank our caller for calling in. I believe we have time for just one more caller. Good evening. You're on Open Channel. Do you have a question or a comment?
Yes, I'd like to address this to Nick and Ted.
Okay.
I'd like to find out why I should vote for the Vice President. Why should I vote for you,
Nick?
Well, overall, we had a couple more minutes. I'd really go into it, but basically, I think we'll just talk about why I could do a better job, or why am I more experienced, and that's basically the question. I spent 2 years in the ASI. Again, I've pretty much covered most of the committees I've been involved with. But I think I have a very good knowledge of the Student Senate sitting on it this year. I have talked with a lot of the administrators. I have, as far as my whole philosophy is getting out as far as more communication, more participation. This is one of the reasons why I authored the General Revenue Sharing Bill. It's one of the reasons why I've been involved as far as trying to get an open forum with the associated students, why I tried to I was one of the people involved in getting the Mustang Daily ads. And one of the things I'd like to do next year is to get a newsletter coming from the Student Senate down to all the different organizations and school councils. And I think overall my ideas and my philosophies and my experience are the reasons why perhaps you would cast your ballot in my favor.
Okay, how about Ted?
Okay. No,
that was Nick.
That was Nick.
Ted's coming up.
Okay. Okay, this is Ted. I feel that I have the leadership. I feel that I know, as a senator, I know how Senate works. And as I mentioned earlier, I'll be helping next year's senators write proposals and resolutions that are going to, and some of these resolutions go on to President Baker. I want to make these senators of next year stronger and better, and I want them to do their homework and go out there and represent people. That's what they're going to be elected, to represent people. I want to show up at some council meetings and make sure that these senators are bringing forth what was discussed and debated at Senate so they would get the council's opinions and concerns on how they feel on those issues, as well as have these council reps go back to their clubs and find out their opinions and concerns also, so they could, you know, so these club reps could go back to their councils and with the senators there and discuss what's going on in the in Senate, and these senators will know which way to go on the issues.
I'd like to thank our caller for calling in. That's all the time we have tonight. It seems like we always have more questions and not enough time. But I want to take the little time remaining to thank our guest this evening, Mr. Willie Huff. Thank you for expressing your candid views, even though you are a single person running a one-man race. Ted Sanchez and Nick Forestier, thanks for being here and openly expressing your viewpoints. I hope that tonight's comments gave our listeners more insight into your what your campaign platforms are, and I wish you both good luck in your campaigns. Mr. Tom Hiscox, my co-questioner tonight, thanks for being on the show, and thanks for the help. I'm Leslie Bensacca, your substitute moderator for this week's edition of Open Channel. Again, I remind you that Open Channel is a public affairs presentation of KCPR and is designed to keep you involved in the issues and events that take place all around us. Don't worry, Rebecca will be back next week, so until then, thank you for listening to this edition of Open Channel.
Consider that.
Oh, I know. I totally admit that they have broken international law. That is an injustice in and of itself. And I'm not saying that that is the proper way to go about getting the world to listen to you. But I don't believe that you can solve the problem by going in there and using force. Because if you look at it, there isn't any way that there could have been a completely, totally successful mission without having people getting killed.
Okay, Krista, this is something that we can only speculate on. We don't know that it was a direct rescue mission of the hostages. Mm-hmm. That's what is being said publicly now. For all we know, the chompers would have sat there for a few weeks, maybe just ready to move.
Yeah, I get to the point, though, that I really can't, you know, you can't believe everything that you hear, and I'm sure we don't know half of what's gone on in that country, you know, what we've done over there and what the Iranians have done to us. You know, it's just an endless circle.
But we're certainly, you're right, we certainly are aware of the issue now, and the Americans are certainly more sensitive to it, but I refuse to even, you know, consider that. Just, I won't even think about that while they've got our hostages.
Consider, I don't understand
what you're saying. I wouldn't even consider reflecting on what we've done in the past or putting it up to a world court or anything like that.
Yeah, but we're also dealing with people that won't even consider helping us or giving back our hostages until we do that.
That's true, and also during this time we're learning who our allies are and aren't.
Yeah.
And this has been a very educational time, if not a very trying time for the United States. Anything else to add, Krista?
Just that I do respect Cyrus Vance for standing up for his convictions.
Convictions and stepping down.
Yeah.
Okay, thanks. Remember you said it here.
All right, thank you.
Call again, Krista.
All right, bye-bye.
544-4640, 12 now, about 11 now before 6 o'clock.
And open channel coming up at that time.
Open channel coming up at 6. We've got a phone caller. If you could hang on, we're going to take a break. We'll be right back. We're going to rush out and get a drink of water. We'll be gone for about 30 seconds and be right back.
Cal Poly's Political Science Department is now sponsoring a speakers forum regarding the American presidency in the United States Congress. Presenting the talk is Mr. Fred Harris, who himself is a former U.S. Senator, former candidate for president, author and professor at the University of New Mexico. Hear Mr. Harris on Monday, May 5th at 1 o'clock in the afternoon in room 220 of the University Union. For more information, call the Political Science Department today. Learn more about our government, which has an effect on you.
544-4640. You're listening to 91 Talkback with Dave Stein, Frank Thomas. Coming up in about 10 minutes, Leslie Bensacca will be talking to the candidates for ASI election, the single candidate for the president, Mr. Willie Huff, and the two vice presidential candidates, Ted Sanchez and Nick Forster. I guess that's the proper pronunciation of that
name.
We'll
find out shortly.
Very shortly. It's a call-in talk show, just like 91 Talkback.
It's a little more formal.
A little more formal.
I venture to imagine.
Mm-hmm. They appreciate your call and would like to hear your comments.
Now, just the fact that Willie Huff is running unopposed doesn't mean he's going to walk into the office. There are write-ins, and many times they've played a major role.
Mm-hmm. The show will also be co-hosted by co-news director Tom Hiscox.
Okay.
Thought we might mention that.
Okay, if you've been calling and you get a busy signal, keep calling. We appreciate every call.
544-4640. Let's go to our phones.
Hi, you're on 91 Talkback.
Hello.
Hello, how you doing?
Pretty good. What's your first name?
Mike.
Hi, Mike. It's kind of funny, isn't it, with the delay and all that stuff. You got your radio down?
Yeah.
Sure. All right. What's on your mind?
I wanted to talk about Poly Royal just a little bit. And, you know, there's a lot of clubs that do a lot of work around school to get a lot of things going. And a lot of them are pretty interested in you know, trying to make a few bucks. It's probably their only fundraiser that they've got all year. And yet, you know, when they finally make all their money and stuff like that, when it comes down to the final brass tacks, I don't know. I think this is right, but they have to split their net profit 40-60 with the Poly Royal Board. Poly Royal Board gets like about 40% of it. What do you know about that?
Okay, Mike, I want you to call back at 6 o'clock, okay?
Uh-huh.
Leslie Bensaka and Tom Hiscox will be interviewing the ASI election candidates and all. They'll have all the information for you, okay?
Okay.
So ring back in about 15.
Okay.
We'll see you later.
Real good. Bye-bye.
Mike wanting to know about what percentage ASI has to take. Mm-hmm. And that's an issue that I'm glad we can leave. That's a can of worms in itself. Okay, to the phones we go.
544-464-0, hi, you're on 91 Talkback. What's your first name?
My name's Ken.
Hi, Ken. Welcome to the radio.
Oh, how are you doing?
Oh, busy night.
Yeah, sounds like it. Yeah, well, I'd just like to put in a few words my concern of the minor sports that face being cut next year.
Yeah. What being cut again? Excuse me?
Minor sports.
Tennis,
minor sports.
Swimming, and water polo, and I think soccer are the ones that face being cut.
Okay, now this is from President Baker's proposed budget cuts, right?
Well, assuming... I'm not sure if it comes from Baker. I'm really not sure of the specifics. It's just like this year, tennis and swimming, soccer, and I'm not sure about water polo. Our budget is just $100 this year. And this year, tennis, it was just announced that they got 6 players to go to the Nationals, and swimming got a bunch of people to Nationals. And I just think that it's a shame that, you know, the budgeting is so poor, and we have so much talent here. I think that the school should support the athletics a lot more than they are, because, you know, if they just look, you know...
Okay, if it came... Now, this is being really cold. If it came down to engineering classes... Or tennis. What do you think?
What do you mean by that? You know,
in other words,
there's so much money is that, go around. That, if it came down to
if it came down to, look, either minor sports here or a new oscilloscope for the EL lab or something like that. What do you think?
Well, I guess I'm kind of biased. You know, I pick tennis, but you know, I don't think it would ever come down. I think $100 is menial. I think that's not enough to support.
Now, that's ASI funding, isn't it?
They're looking to ASI this year. ASI is kind of supporting it. They haven't passed anything. I guess they talked about it last night.
These are transient times. It's hard to pass anything that'll stay from year to year. Can you do me a favor, Ken?
Sure thing.
Just like the last caller, call back during
open channel.
During open channel, you'll be talking to ASI candidates, and you're the person. You'd just be perfect. You put them on the spot, force an opinion out of them. Okay.
Sounds great.
Do it for me. See you later, Ken.
Thanks a lot.
Ken will be calling back on open channel, which is up at 6. 7 more minutes of 91 talk back. We've got an open line. Grab it now. 544-4640. Whoops, been grabbed. Keep
Hello.
Dialing. Hi, you're on 91 talk back.
Hello, I'd like to talk about the draft or the lack of it.
What's your first name?
Nels.
Excuse again?
Nels.
Dels?
Nels. N-E-L-S.
Oh, okay. Short for Nelson.
You got her.
Okay.
Yeah.
I've been waiting for someone to mention that, because if everyone's got their military ears up, as it were, and you think we should be drafting right now, getting our military force ready?
Well, I hate to think that we was getting ready for something, but evidently I just got out of the Navy, and I feel that the quality of personnel that are going in now are really like on the pits, you know, because there's so many people that just join because they can't get a job anywhere, and a lot of people, they can't seem to get a job because they don't seem to have the mentality to hold the job down.
I understand that, I guess it was the Marine Corps, they used to have qualifications that you had to have a high school diploma, and from what I understand, recruitment was so low, they had to drop that qualification.
And now they don't have that. In the Navy, they don't have that high of standards anymore, and a lot of the recruiters are falsifying their records. When I was in boot camp, we had this guy that couldn't even read, and he was dropped out after he was in boot camp. But anyways,
That's scary. Now
yeah,
that you mentioned that.
There's so much going on at the Navy, and technology is increasing so much, and you have somebody who can't really read. He's got to take care of this equipment.
Are you acquainted at all with the ROTC program?
Not all that much. I am really not interested in the ROTC program.
Yeah, I was just curious to see what type of caliber, you know, people were coming through that. Are you acquainted at all with the chopper?
The helicopter
oh,
yeah,
right. that President Carter decided to use.
Yeah.
Okay, what model was it?
Was
it? It had an M in it. That's about all I could remember.
Oh, jeez. I don't know.
Do you know any of the tendencies of the chopper? I heard it brought out, and this point really hasn't been brought out really very much, that there are sea choppers, right, and there are land helicopters, and there is a big difference between the two.
I think a lot of it has to do with the durability of the helicopter for different weather conditions.
Really?
And that helicopter is more for land than for sea. And if it was out at sea for a great deal of time, it's possible that parts were corroded just a little bit. Now, it doesn't require very much for a helicopter to go down.
Okay. Well, thanks for your call. You're kind of, Nels, kind of sharing our concern about
yes.
it. So you say the draft and now, right? None of this 21-year-old, 19-year-old business, just get them all drafted? And
no, I'm not saying get them all drafted. Get some people in there that have a little higher intelligent level and that are staying away from the drugs. The drugs are really a big problem in the services. They play it down a lot, but the drugs are definitely there.
Yeah, I know a lot of addicts came back... from Vietnam.
Yeah, they're letting a lot of addicts in. Mm-hmm. I mean, now, you know.
It's kind of sad.
That is kind of sad. Thanks, Nels.
Yes, my pleasure.
Oh, mine too. Nels kind of getting us scared. Makes you wonder, huh?
Yeah.
We got room for our last telephone call, and then we're going to wrap up. Dave Norton is our engineer. I just want to say he's doing a hell of a job. More than a hell of a job. Bicycle Bob Latson coming up at 7 o'clock. I see him through the window. He's coming up at 7 o'clock for the Oldies Show. So, hi, you're on 91 Talkback.
What's your first name?
My name's Don Morris, and I'm a broadcasting journalism major at Cal Poly.
Okay.
I was just wondering, why you DJs, you know, always talk like, hey, this is San Elizabeth, KZBR. I was wondering, is that the way you guys generally talk, or is that just...
Okay, when have you been listening? Or, no, wait a minute, don't say that, now that I mentioned that. What's your complaint again that you think...
I was just wondering what you guys, you talk like, hi, this is Don at KZBR. I mean, is that the way you normally talk, or is that...
Oh, you mean me and Frank?
Yeah, all the DJs,
All the DJs. Okay, an interesting point. I didn't realize we really talk like that.
Well, you're on right now. It doesn't seem like that anyway. I was just wondering,
In other words, hype. You don't like hype, or you think we're hype.
No, I don't really think you're hype. I think you're
fellow
guys.
Sure. Hey,
oh,
hi. Hey, groovy,
man. No, I was just calling, just to find out in pure curiosity sake.
Okay, KCPR is a whole bunch of things at once. We're a 2,000-watt radio station. Most college radio stations are...
Carrier little current.
You know, they run in through the mess hall when the weather's good.
Yeah.
And sometimes you can pick them up in the parking lot. But, if you're lucky. We're 2,000 watts, so we have a service not only to the campus, but the community to perform. Also, we are a lab. First and foremost,
the KCPR is for the students who work here.
Mm-hmm. We're a journalism lab, and also for DJs. Being a DJ really isn't part of the journalism department, but that's kind of an offshoot of it, kind of a birth child of it. And we are also a training ground for DJs. And you're bringing up a point that a lot of people are possibly training to be AM DJs. But we have restrictions, and a jock has a lot of freedom.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of things are up to his discretion. If he wants to learn how to do talkovers, he can do it. If he wants to be hyped, we have air check review sessions.
Every weekend.
In other words, voice that you're causing is that's purposeful, right? It's not your normal voice, then. It's just manufactured for airtime, right?
Some people are natural.
Voice?
Some people
oh, really?
Are.
Really?
Yeah, some people are naturally
mumblers. Awful. Yes. Some people mumble and they have to.
You could be like Bicycle Bob. You know, he sings in the mic and a whole bunch of things.
All right.
But hey, that's a good call. But we are a lab. We're a learning lab, and a DJ to some extent has the right to learn that.
I was just, I was really curious about it.
Okay, you should come down and check us out. We have a staff meeting at the beginning of every quarter.
Yeah, I might do that.
And come on in, get into DJ training. That doesn't mean you have to be a DJ, but you'll get an hour on the air.
Alright.
And you can high-pad yourself.
Good. Alright, you guys, take it easy. We'll see you later.
We'll see you later, Don. Hey, Don, yeah, reacting to our TJ Haskell spot, or whatever that is, from the Something Raceway. Well, 6 o'clock.
It's time to wrap up. Yeah, we've been talking a lot about OKCPR. I think we might talk about that next week.
I hope so. If people are interested, we'll talk about just about anything.
Anything you want. This has been 91 Talkback on KCPR. I'm Frank Thomas, Dave Stein. Big thank you to D.W. Norton, helping out with the engineering, and Rebecca Felig, helping out with some of the production. Stay tuned for Open Channel next. You're on your campus radio station, KCPR San Luis Obispo.
Fogging at the 45-yard line. Neil Lomax, the quarterback, will bring him up to the line of scrimmage. The lone setback, Joel Siegel. Wide right is Flugrad. Lomax back to pass, just like we thought he would. Down the sidelines, complete to John Rudolph. He's tackled on the 20 on the 16-yard line.
And number 90,
Mike Ramo. Paul?
Mike Ramo defending on the play, was looking for the receiver number 24 to cut outside. He cut inside. Ramo wasn't even looking and caught him by surprise.
The pass was thrown behind and to the left of Jeff Rudolph. He looked over his right shoulder. If the ball would have been thrown properly, Ramo would have had the interception, but the ball was to the left and behind, and Rudolph slowed up and cut behind Ramo to make the catch. First and 10 for the Vikings on the Mustang 16-yard line. Play action pass. Lomax rolling right. Nobody open. Now he sees he's got Ken Milasevich open, complete on the Mustang 5-yard line, and the Mustang defense now.
That's on the goal line, I believe, Jay.
Is it down on the goal line? Looked like the 6 to me. All right, down on the goal line. You're absolutely right, down in the 1. I've got 4 eyes. I still can't see. First and goal from the 1 for the Vikings with 31 seconds left. And all of a sudden, the Vikings putting it together. The Mustang prevent defense, the only thing they're preventing, I'm not sure what they're preventing. They're preventing nothing. 2 quick gains for the Vikings. A 24-yard pass complete, a 35-yard run complete, 34-yard return, and a 13-yard pass, and the Vikings have the ball first and goal from the 1, 31 yards. Paul, I expect the Vikings to put it in and at least get on the board here.
Yes, well, I hope so. I think it would be terribly discouraging to them if they failed at this point.
Although a 28-point halftime lead is nothing to laugh about. 35 points is almost a death wish. All right, Neil Lomax will lead him up to the line of scrimmage. The lone setback, Joey Siegel. You got to think he's going to get the ball. Give us a Siegel right over the middle. And the Mustang line stops him. Timeout called. Neil Lomax, the entire left side of that Mustang line. Tom Ray, Fred Razzo in company, in on the tackle. They just completely collapsed. I believe Razzo will be given credit with the tackle. Fred Razzo, number 99, 6'2", 225-pound sophomore from Santa Maria, California, in on the stop. Second and goal from the 1. Fred Razzo trying to keep the Vikings off the scoreboard. Coming into the ballgame, Mike Ramo, a linebacker, bringing the play in from instructions in from the bench from Joe Harper in the Mustang brain trust. Joe Harper is up in the Cal Poly press box up above us. He calls the plays down to the field where the rest of the coaches are. All right, Lomax brings him up. Lomax pitch back to fullback Siegel. He swings left, and the Vikings, with 21 seconds left in the second quarter, get on the board very finally, almost mercifully. The Vikings get on the board. The small contingent of Portland State Viking fans right below us here in the Mustang press box. We're on the south end of the press box. And with 21 seconds left, the Vikings are on the board, 35-6. In Detroit, the extra point will be the place kicker, John Kinchlow. John Unesta, the wide receiver, will hold. And with 21 seconds left, the ball is down. The kick is up. It's good. And the Vikings are on the board, 35 for Cal Poly and 7 for the Vikings. And, Paul, you almost figured they had to score eventually. They almost had to score.
Well, that might give Portland State a little confidence, and that is one thing they certainly need now going into the locker room at halftime. I'm sure their coach is just going to tell them, man, the score is 35-7. We're going to have to go out and we're going to have to get a lot of points fast. So in the second half, Jay, I think we're going to see some more interceptions on Cal Poly's part, because I think sure that Lomax is going to be going to the air, and quite often.
Lomax and Piggott, the two quarterbacks for the Vikings, and they are not as thrilled about giving the ball. They would much rather throw it. That's what they do best. They are number one in the nation coming into tonight's ball game in passing offense. They have not done the job tonight. The Mustang defensive line with three or four quarterback sacks, and they have not done the job. The Mustangs, what can you say? They've done it all tonight.
Four quarterback sacks, three interceptions. We have to give them a lot of credit.
Kicking off will be number one, John Kinchlow. Back deep to receive, Robbie Martin and Dwight Crump. They're standing on about their own 5-yard line. 21 seconds left in the first half. Squib kick. Mustangs fall on it. Number 64 for the Mustangs, the center, Rod Shaw, falls on the ball on the Mustang 34-yard line. And that's where Cal, on the 45-yard line, that's where Cal Poly will take it. First and 10 on their 45. We've got 20 seconds left in the first half. And, Paul, I wouldn't be surprised if Cal Poly put the ball up and tried to score one more time.
Well, we'll see a sampling of Greg Johnson's deep arm right now.
On the other side of the coin, Joe Harper may have said, just fall on that ball and kill the clock. We'll find out. Greg Johnson leads him up to the line of scrimmage. And we're going to have penalty flags all over the place. As a left tackle for the Mustangs, Brian Page took off about a count and a half early. The ball was given to Paul Hodson. He went straight over the middle. He gained about one, but in about the play will come back as Mustangs will be called for illegal procedure. Left tackle Brian Page moving ahead of the count. So it'll be first and 15 from the 40 for Cal Poly, as I am quite sure that they will take the play. But Cal Poly's not walking back, so maybe not. Maybe they'd just rather take the down. Now they're going to mark them back 5 yards. First and 15 from the 40 for the Mustangs. We've got 16 seconds left. Cal Poly surprisingly leading 35-7. Portland State not doing the job at all tonight. We expected them to come out throwing quick, fast, and accurate. And by all rights, this should be a tie ball game, but it's not. Cal Poly very surprisingly ahead, 35-7. 5-yard penalty. It'll be first and 15 for the Mustangs from their own 40. Craig Johnson giving to Hodson, up over the middle of 45 to 50. He breaks three or four tackles down into Viking territory, down to about the 47. 8 seconds, the clock is moving, and I believe they'll let it run out. And Paul, Cal Poly will go into halftime with a very surprising 35-7 lead, and now they're going to call timeout. Cal Poly calls timeout, of all people. I can't believe they called timeout. Second and 3 from the 48, 4 seconds left. Cal Poly getting greedy. They know Portland State can come back and they can strike quick and fast. And if they can get another few points on the board, they'll do it. Robbie Martin coming in with the play from the bench. He will replace Mike Gilmore. Gilmore and Martin alternating at flanker. Crump and Evanoff alternate at wide receiver. Pedrick Jones alternated tight end. Cal Poly shuffling their plays in front of the bench.